Turn in your Bibles to 1 Timothy this morning, chapter 1. 1 Timothy chapter 1. Verse 18, if you'll stand when you get that. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 18. This charge I commit to you, son Timothy, according to the prophecies previously made concerning you, that by them you may wage the good warfare, having faith and a good conscience. Father, our prayer this morning is that you will help us to wage the good warfare, Father. And our conscience, led by the Holy Spirit, will always serve and glorify you. That you will help us be bold in our walk in these times. I pray that you'd be with me this morning, Father, to bring your message and only your message, that the Holy Spirit would soften hearts and minds, and that you would individually lay a message upon the hearts that is needed here. Help us do nothing but glorify you. In Christ Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. You can turn back over to verse 1. The theater in Ephesus was one of many grand buildings that was there. Ephesus was much like Corinth that we've been studying on Sunday night in its culture and the way that it acted. Many temples, many foreign gods. But the theater was full this day. The Bible says 24,000 strong. And they weren't cheering for the Louisiana Tech Bulldogs to win. They were cheering for the prophetess or their goddess Diana. Diana of the Ephesians, the Bible says, went on for several hours in an uproar where no one else could speak and no one else could hear. They had been worked into a frenzy. And the Bible says some of them in there didn't even know why they were there. They were just joining in the chorus. Diana of the Ephesians. For you see, Paul had come and started a church, and the gospel had spread, and the Holy Spirit was working, and people were coming out of that lifestyle, in so much that it was getting into the pocketbooks of some of the people. You can talk to some people, and they will put up with you for a while, but when you start getting in their pocketbooks, and it talks about money or religious beliefs, you would tell that they can change on you in just a second. For you see, these people made money making little idols that Paul called what? The Bible calls dumb idols. They're just rocks, they're just wood, they're gold, they're silver. They're nothing but an object laying there, but they made their money making these idols and selling it to these people who had been led astray by Satan, believing that the statue of Diana, we won't describe her, but it was kind of a grotesque thing, beauty to them, but it was kind of a grotesque thing, believing that this statue had been let down from heaven by Zeus himself. And you can go way back in their culture and history and all the way to Babylon to find out the ancestry of Zeus and all of that belief coming down from Zoroaster and all of that. We won't get into all of that. These people believed that. And so these people that were losing money because people were not buying the idols anymore, what does that tell you about the growth of the church there? If it had affected them that much, because they said it might have been 250,000 people that lived in this city, if it was starting to affect them that much, then the Holy Spirit was moving here. People were being changed. And they weren't buying those dumb idols anymore. So they stirred up other craftsmen, okay? Pre-unions here. They stirred up other craftsmen and got them into a frenzy because they said, hey, Paul and what he's bringing here is cutting into our money and we have to do something about it. So they stirred up the people and they all ran into the theater and were promoting their goddess Diana. 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy, Titus is what has been labeled the pastoral epistles for the last couple of hundred years. Very good epistles to read, letters, personal letters written by Paul. The only ones written to Paul, to Paul's gospel co-workers, these three, as there was the case. so different in a way that some liberal scholars throughout the centuries have tried to say that Paul really didn't write these letters because they can tell a difference in the way his writing is here. But Paul did write these letters. They were just in a personal way. When you write letters corporately or to an individual, you change the way you write sometimes. So the Holy Spirit was leading Paul here to write to Timothy and to Titus. These were the men that had served with him that were serving. But they're also written to teach Christian living in response to the gospel. Titus was left where? In Crete, because there was a new church there. Timothy was left in Ephesus because there was false teaching. Now, I just told you the culture of Ephesus. Here's this young man in the gospel that had been with Paul on some missionary journeys, that had trained under Paul, that had been mentored by Paul, and all of a sudden he's left here to do a certain job. So it might possibly have been that Timothy might have been having some second thoughts, or that maybe he was down a little bit because of the culture that he was in. But not only was the culture, that wasn't the big problem. The big problem was what Paul had told them in the book of Acts. You can read about the Ephesian church. He had warned them, I'm going to give you a warning. He's prophesying that you're going to have trouble. And guess what? It's going to come from inside the church. That's what really depresses a leader like Timothy. So Paul was writing him this letter to encourage, to admonish, to help him in this time, to also help the congregation about these false lies, these false things that were coming into the church. And Paul gave him one command, maybe two. Preach what I have given you, the gospel given to the apostles. You know, we have an apostles' creed that was written. That given to the apostles, preach the gospel, remind them of it, and don't let these false things get you off into other things, the activities of the church that will take your mind and the congregation's mind off of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 1 says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the commandment of God, our Savior, and the Lord Jesus Christ, our hope, to Timothy, a true son in the faith. He loved Timothy. He mentored Timothy. Have you ever had someone when you were young that was a mentor to you besides your parents in the church? Someone that you looked up to that was a mentor to you? Have you ever been a mentor to a young person or someone else like Paul was to Timothy? To help them in the faith, to admonish them in the faith, to support them in the faith? You can just imagine Paul's heart when he's writing to this young man in the situation that he was in. Because verse 3 says, as I urged you when I went to Macedonia, when he was called to Macedonia, Timothy was with him on that second missionary journey as long as Luke joined him after a while. When Paul, the Holy Spirit, didn't let him go where he was wanting to go, but sent him into Macedonia, Paul said, I urged you even then to remain in Ephesus that you may charge some that they teach no other doctrine. In some of his epistles, Paul had to defend his apostleship. You remember we talked about that in our study on Sunday night in 1 Corinthians. But he's simply reminding Timothy here that he is an apostle called by the Lord Jesus Christ, reminded him that he's simply doing what he was commanded to do by his Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. An example of staying the course in a letter written to encourage Timothy to do just that. He says, Timothy, remain in Ephesus because they need the truth. There might be times that you don't want to stay, but God may have you at a certain place for a certain reason. He said, Timothy, I need you to stay there because they need the truth. Timothy was to give a warning to the false teachers in Ephesus. Look at this. It says, warn them and charge them some that they teach no other doctrine except what the apostles have brought to them to teach, nor give heed to fables and endless genealogies. The fables were myths. The Jews had certain myths. Then some of the liberal Jewish scholars had taken some of the Old Testament and it actually kind of added to it. And they said that the Old Testament was really kind of mythology, that it wasn't really actual, that the characters in it were kind of fictional. And they got off into this stuff and they would add myth to it. And you can imagine what old Satan was doing to that. And the genealogies were bragging about the ancestors and coming down. And a lot had to do with it on some of the myths like Zeus and some of the other gods we just talked about. Very interesting, because I got a text from a good friend of mine this week about genealogies. Lord knew I was going to preach on this, I guess. And the question that this person has was, I have a cousin, I think they said, that wants me to help look up the genealogy of our family. But my daddy always told me that you shouldn't do that because it's in the Bible not to look up genealogy. So I did some research for her on this, and I assured her that you're not going to go to hell, and it's okay to find out who your ancestors are if you really want to. You know, you may not want to. But that's not what he's talking about here. He's talking about the genealogies that they were lying about and bringing us into the church. And this might not have been very sinful things, but what Paul is telling Timothy, these people in your congregation are getting so into this that it's taking their mind and their activities off the true nature of the church, which is the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Refocus them, Timothy. Refocus the church on what it is supposed to do. Now, the purpose of the commandment is love from a pure heart, from a good conscience, and from sincere faith, from which some have strayed, having turned aside to this idle talk, describing the teachers of the law, understanding neither what they say nor the things which they affirm. Some of the Judaizers had come, okay, and they were telling these false things, and they thought that they really knew what they were talking about, and Paul is saying here that they really don't even understand the law of Moses. They don't understand the context of what it was actually meant to do. And they're teaching these false doctrines and these false things, and it's getting people off into all this stuff, and the church cannot focus on what it is to focus on. In the book of Acts and Revelation, we get a picture of this Ephesian church. Tempted by the occults, enticed into error by the heretics that had come into it, finally abandoning its first love in Christ. Remember, that's one of the letters that was to Ephesus in the book of Revelation. Like I just told you, there were some Jewish distortions of the Old Testament that brought these heresies in. And these were some old wives' tale, as Paul will call them later on in some of his writing, that he said, don't even pay attention to those things, because it does not build up the faith. It does not edify, no edification. What we should be doing is building up the faith of the members of the church, spreading the gospel, and edifying the Lord Jesus Christ. No idle talk, no idle things should be going on. It's okay to have some different studies every now and then, but our main focus of the church is the Lord Jesus Christ and the gospel. Paul wanted these two things. One is love from a pure heart, or from a good conscience with the Holy Spirit gives. Sincere faith, a trust in God that you have and you display. Don't be caught up in the meaningless talks, he's saying. Some want to be teachers but don't even have a clue of what they're talking about. And they fooled the people because they sounded real good and they sounded like they knew what they talked about. But obviously the people didn't relate it to Scripture or what the apostles had been teaching them. Now you can get a picture, if you've been here on Sunday night in 1 Corinthians, now you can get a little picture on why some people started to question Paul and his apostleship. See there? Some of these myths had come in and people had started to believe some of these things. Well, that's a little opposite from what Paul's been teaching us. So, Paul, you sure you were an apostle? You weren't a member of the original 12? So Paul, in many instances, has had to defend his apostleship. So up here, like I said in verse 1, he's simply reminding Timothy, I have the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ and of the Holy Spirit to write these things and to teach these things. And I'm admonishing you to keep going. I'm admonishing you to keep your feet to the pavement. The content of these false teachers didn't lead anyone to any holy living. If it never leads to God, if it never leads to the Lord Jesus Christ, if it never leads you to want to get into the Scripture and to holy living, if it never leads you to want to do better and look into the Scripture and serve the Lord Jesus Christ any at all, then what I'm telling you up here is just empty words. If I'm not doing that and portraying Christ Jesus as Lord and Savior and the Scripture to you, if you never get anything out of it for that, then maybe you need to get you somebody else. That's what I'm supposed to do. And I hope you do. I hope you get that. I pray that you get that. But these false teachers were bringing none of that into the church. Paul said, stay in Ephesus, Timothy, because you minister in a hard place. Well, that's encouraging, isn't it? Stay in Ephesus because you minister in a hard place. The ones in error had used the law as a launch pad for tales about their ancestors and how great they were. They missed the point of the right use of the law, or God's law. That it restrains individuals from wrongdoing is one thing. It reveals sin that should lead us to Christ in the long run, and it points out works that please God. The law was never intended to save. It cannot, but Paul said because it came from God, it was a perfect law. Man just could not keep it perfectly. The law was to condemn them and point to them that they were sinners away from God and that they needed a Savior, and it does. But Jesus is, what did he say? He's the fulfillment of the law. God gave the law to a certain point, and Jesus took it over and fulfilled it right on out. And he is our Savior. He is our way to God. He is our mediator. But the law shows us that. It showed them in the Old Testament that, or it should have. Paul called believers the righteous here who do not need the law, for we have holy living. That's why we're not under the law. But the law is still good to study and to see what it teaches. Okay? Now, we don't keep all the things of the law, but the Old Testament is not cast aside. It is joined with the new, never to be done away with. The unrighteous need the law to point to a diseased life. There should be nothing in the church that hinders our full involvement in sharing the gospel of Christ. And then Paul said, Timothy, stay in Ephesus because God uses unworthy people. Praise the Lord for that. Thank the Lord for that. Verses 12 through 16. Let's read those. Paul's saying, Timothy, I thank Christ Jesus our Lord who has enabled me because he counted me faithful, putting me into ministry, although I was formerly a blasphemer, a persecutor, and an insolent man, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was exceedingly abundant with faith and love which are in Christ Jesus. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. However, for this reason, I obtained mercy that in me first, Jesus Christ, might show all longsuffering as a pattern to those who are going to believe on him for everlasting life. Augustine, one of the early church fathers, made this statement. God does not choose a person who is worthy, but by the act of choosing him, he makes him worthy. Amen? We should be thankful that God would use us at all. That he would allow us to be in ministry. He would allow us to share the word of his Son and of his glorious revelation to us. Paul's sin was a sin of ignorance. But yes, he was a chief of sinners. He just didn't say that. He persecuted believers. He had them put to death. Don't miss the point here where it says that he made them blaspheme, which means that he tortured them to the point where they rejected Christ. Now, I'm not going to get off into that deep theology there, but that's what it means. He did awful, awful things. And yet the Lord Jesus Christ, through his grace, still saved a sinner like that and used him mightily in ministry. Don't ever think that God cannot use you because of your past. If you hold on to your past and you're not trusting the Lord Jesus Christ and his forgiveness of sins, because God says, I have wiped your sin away. It is a clean slate before me. Yes, we still sin every day, and we go to our Father and ask forgiveness, don't we? But your sin, if you hold on to it, that is Satan putting it in your mind, trying to keep you from doing anything from the Lord. I'll just come to church on Sunday and sit there because with my past, God surely can't use me. I've had a lot of people in prison tell me that. That's a lie from Satan. Paul is an example, perfect example of that. He's saying, Timothy, don't let any of these things come into your mind. Don't let Satan give you doubt when you're here serving at this church. You be bold. You stand forth with the gospel. You proclaim it. You preach. You have faith. And you stay in Ephesus to do God's work. He said, Timothy, stay because we serve a great God. Amen. Verse 17 says, now to the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, to God alone is wise, to honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. God is eternal. He is immortal. He is our invisible God. But we see God through who? Through the Lord Jesus Christ. There are some people that will say that Paul never said that Jesus was God, but that's not true. He says it all through his letters and all through his epistles, if you read it correctly. We see him through the Lord Jesus Christ. We serve a great God, Timothy, one that can hold you, one that can keep you, one that can protect you, one that can further the gospel. Satan was coming against them for a reason, because the gospel was making a difference. The gospel was making inroads into people and in their lives and bringing them out of that life of the occult and the demonic and all the bad things was going on, and they were changing their lives and serving Christ Jesus. And that's why Satan was bringing such devastation, or trying to the ministry. And then he says, stay in Ephesus, Timothy, because you're in a battle and you cannot surrender. Ever felt that way? Brother Carroll might tell you some stories, I don't know. It felt like you're in a battle serving God and you might want to just surrender sometimes. Verse 18 tells us, this charge I commit to you, son Timothy, according to the prophecies previously made concerning you, that by them you may wage the good warfare. Wage the good warfare. He wasn't in a defensive position. Paul was telling him, be offensive with the gospel. Get out there and proclaim the gospel that we have given already to the church. Remind them of it. And notice, he didn't condemn the men that were bringing these heresies yet. He said, remind them. So they were brothers. He said, remind them of what they should be teaching. Hopefully they would change and come back in line and just teach the gospel that was supposed to be taught. Then finally he said, Timothy, stay because not everyone else does. These that might be with you today just might not be with you tomorrow. Stay, Timothy, because not everyone else does. Verse 19 says, having faith and a good conscience, which some have rejected concerning the faith, have suffered shipwreck, of whom are Hymenaeus and Alexander, whom I delivered to Satan that they may learn not to blaspheme. Now we see these names in other parts of the scripture. Some people say it's the same men. Some say it may not be. But it doesn't matter. But they were bringing damage to Paul, and now they also were bringing damage to Timothy, stirring up strife, blaspheming in their way. What does it mean? It's an interesting statement. I know you want to know and look at that. What did he mean? I delivered them to Satan that they may learn not to blaspheme. Some people say, well, that means that they just put them out of the church. You know, put them out of the church so they would be in the world with Satan, and hopefully they would learn by being away from the church and being away from the body that they would be ashamed of what they were doing and that they would come back. That's what the Baptist church did for years, called excommunicating, right? I've told you this story. Maybe you're tired of hearing it, but it goes good with the sermon, so let me throw it in. In the history book at Pine Grove, there was one gentleman. I told you he danced on Saturday night, and they'd excommunicate him on Sunday. Maybe he'd come back the next week. In a couple of weeks, you'd see his name again. I don't know how long that went on. Hoping that doing that would make somebody see and change their mind. Other scholars say, no, it was kind of a worse thing than this, that the apostles had the authority to do this for certain reasons, and he was delivered to Satan for a time, maybe for something physical to happen, or who knows. But it doesn't really mean anything. I'm not telling you one way or the other. Those are the two opinions. But whatever the matter was, they were blaspheming and going against God, and something needed to be done because they were interrupting the body of Christ. Paul said, Timothy, God has called you to a ministry, and you've got to stay the course, because he has the roadmap set. Follow him. The Holy Spirit will lead. And he has what you need to do. Stay the course. Do what you need to do. I'm here to support you. I'm your mentor here. I'm giving you this advice. But follow the Holy Spirit's lead, because he is the one that's the head of the church, Christ. He is the one walking among his church. You stay the course and just simply serve God no matter how hard it gets. Pray for all that we might fight the good fight. That's what he simply asks us to do in our life. Fight the good fight. Tell people of the gospel. Keep the commands of the Lord Jesus Christ if you love him and love the body. Amen. Brother W.